What's going on, everyone? Jurassic Views, Ottawa's Raptors podcast, Bryce Diamond post-game against the New York Knicks. Listen, I was cooking dinner when this game was in overtime, and dinner almost didn't get made, or it was going to be burned, one of the two. This was a game where both Knicks fans and Raptors fans could have been taken to the hospital due to blood pressure. Both teams threw away, you know, two possession leads or more. The Knicks at one point were up 101-92 with about 4 minutes to go. And the Raptors were up 123-117 with 40 seconds remaining and 12 seconds left on the shot clock. And they turned the ball over. Just maddening moments for both fan bases. Listen, it's a hard knock life. And for a New York Knicks basketball fan, sometimes it's a hard Knick life. There were no bing bongs tonight, just a lot of head scratching and head shaking. For the Toronto Raptors, Mitchell Robinson destroyed us. This is like Undertaker versus Shawn Michaels kind of stuff. Mitchell Robinson bullied us. He punished us into submission. The New York Knicks, led by Mitchell Robinson, had a ridiculous 20 offensive rebounds. And when we say we need a guy like Poeltl, we're putting out the SOS because we could not defend the defensive glass at all. Rebound after rebound after rebound was recovered on the offensive end for the New York Knicks tonight. And I don't know how Nick Nurse has any hair left. I know Tom Thibodeau really doesn't, just some whiskers on top. But this was a game where you were proud of your guys for fighting hard when they were down late in the game. And then you just kind of wondered, what were we doing otherwise? The Raptors led 110-108. Scotty Barnes was at the line with about 7 seconds to play. Scotty missed a free throw. Reminded me of Kawhi missing a free throw to go up three with about 10, 12 seconds to go in that game seven against Philly in the second round. Tonight, Scotty Barnes missed it, and I was watching this yelling, "Get back! Get back!" And it's unbelievable to watch a team kind of be so unsure or just like disoriented in defending when they're leading. And Scotty Barnes was going up against RJ Barrett. He goes coast to coast, has a nice dunk, you know, reminiscent to the dunk that DeMar DeRozan had in Detroit for the Toronto Raptors back in 2018. Not as much physicality on RJ Barrett's dunk tonight, but an emphatic dunk right at the end of a game to take the game to overtime, just like DeMar did. But if there's one thing I know about RJ Barrett, regardless of how well he's playing, regardless of how well he's shooting, if there's one thing I know about RJ Barrett, it's that he's left-handed. And Scotty Barnes completely forgot about that. and allowed RJ to have a full head of steam, to not channel him, and then to allow him to get to his left hand downhill for a dunk. I know that there's lots of mistakes made in games, but when it's a clutch moment like that and you're that disoriented, whew, it don't look good. But as I said, the Raptors were down 101-92. They battled back quite well. And then even though they weren't able to get the stop against RJ Barrett and the Knicks at the end of regulation, they did actually play a pretty good overtime and to be able to get that six-point lead. And one of the reasons they had a six-point lead is because they had a play through Scotty Barnes that looked a lot like what the Raptors would do with Kyle Lowry and Kawhi and Marc Gasol at the top of the key. Siakam had the ball. Scotty Barnes came almost to the three-point line, posted up, caught it, took a dribble toward half court, faced up to the basket, and Fred set a back screen on Pascal Siakam's man, who I think was Julius Randle. Siakam then had a backdoor type play where Scotty fired the ball into Siakam, and then Siakam got hit by the help defense and Jalen Brunson and dunked the ball home, also made the free throw to go up 121-115. Huge play. Where have those kinds of plays been throughout the season? We lack so much imagination and creativity offensively, and that's just a simple little play that we're very capable of making. And I watched that play and I'm like, why aren't we doing this more? We're struggling from three-point land, although I will say the last 6-8 games, we've had some decent nights of shooting the three. We shoot free throws really well, and especially in the last little while. But where's the imagination been from our coaching staff? And that play is just like, looks so easy, look very doable, especially for those three guys, or I would argue our best three guys in terms of creating half-court offense with screens and passing and cuts. And kudos to get that done, but where has that been? Tonight, we didn't have great three-point shooting. Luckily, OG Anunoby hit two big threes in overtime, but we're 13 for 44, 29%. We have looked better at times. I will say we were 82% from the line. We got to the line 41 times. That's good. We've been doing pretty well as a team from the line the last, say, 10 games. We had 27 assists to the Knicks 17, so we were moving the ball. But gosh, we almost threw it away. And I didn't do a post game after the Atlanta game. Part of that was it was on the weekend. I wasn't really up for it. Part of that was I had just done a pod on the Friday with Courtney, looking at that mini series. But this game against the Knicks and the game against the Atlanta Hawks, very winnable games. And Pascal didn't really show up offensively for that one. Fred looked awful. And the report was going into the day that he was a questionable starter. Questionable that he would be able to play today. And who knows, maybe he wasn't 100% going in to that Atlanta game. But gosh, Fred VanVleet was solid tonight. 8 for 8 from the line. He was focused. He had 8 assists, 5 rebounds. only turn it over once. Such a good assist to turnover ratio. Raptors in general are a top 10 team in the league. I think they're eighth in the league in assist to turnovers. That's positive for a team who could probably have three more assists a game if we made shots. But yeah, Fred VanVleet, 10 of 13, hit 5 threes. Not great shooting numbers, but, you know, over 40% from the field and hovering around 40%, just under 40% from three-point land, perfect from the line. That's what you want to see from this guy. 33 points. That's the all-star we know that he can be. And Brunson and him went back and forth, and then Brunson struggled down the stretch. I think he just had tired legs. Knicks were on a back-to-back, even though they're at home, which was an advantage. The back-to-back definitely hurt them. Brunson tailed off at the end. He was 11 of 29, just didn't have the legs, is what that tells me. Came up short to try and win the game in overtime as well. But this was a good battle, and you saw an all-star in Fred today. Pascal struggled shooting. He was 7 of 12 from inside the arc, but he was 0 of 7 from three-point line, and they were just giving it to him. And he really didn't have much of a jumper today. It was all attacking baskets, cutting baskets, not a lot of mid-range at all. He was 6 of 7 from the line. Now, it's good to see. 9 assists, 8 rebounds, just 1 turnover. Excellent, 20 points. But if he hits 2 threes, we win on regulation. It's not really going to be contested. But he just didn't have it tonight. And for me, when I look at this team, you know, you go down the line, Scotty had another good night like he did against Atlanta, 26 points, got to the line 13 times, 7 rebounds, 4 assists, 8 of 16 from the field, not bad, you know. 6 offensive rebounds, incredible game of effort from Scotty. He was a plus 8, second on the team in that regard. But we're just all over the place, very inconsistent. Gary Trent Jr., 4 of 8, but he was 2 of 6 from inside the three-point line. OG Anunoby hit 2 threes in overtime, but he was 1 of 7 going into overtime from the field. I think he was 2 for 3 in overtime. Just odd how inconsistent we've been. And you can say, well, there's youthfulness that, you know, points toward, usually trends toward inconsistencies. Sure. Youthfulness and experience, yeah, that can get to inconsistencies. But another thing that gives you inconsistencies is chemistry, cohesion, communication, which is lacked at times, and confidence. And I don't know. Excuse me, I'm yawning a ton. 9 o'clock pods, 9 o'clock PM pods without Courtney or Zion. I'm yawning here on the pod. But yeah, just really inconsistent this season. And we've talked about this before. The bench had a good game from Boucher, had a good game from Precious overall. Both of those guys had 8 points. Weren't as solid defensively as he would have liked, but got to the free throw line. We're actually combined 7 of 8 from the line. That's very unusual for those two guys to be so good from the line combined. But they were. But Herman Gomez and Flynn, 0. Thad Young, still not playing. You kind of wonder where this team's at. Scotty Barnes is doing things that Thad Young did last year. Thad doesn't have a three-point shot. You just kind of go down the list. And, you know, Koloko had a really rough night against the Knicks last week. Some nights he's quite solid. This is not a game with Freddie cooking that Downton Jr. is going to get many minutes. Although Flynn only played 3 minutes, you know, you might want to give Fred maybe, you know, 3 other minutes of rest. So maybe Downton Jr. is not a bad pick, or play Flynn three more. I don't know. But the gaps, as they've been pointed out many, many times, another veteran three-point shooter because Otto Porter is injured. A bona fide seven-footer, Jakob Poeltl, we know that. And then a backup point guard that can give us something. Scoring, distributing the ball, playmaking, and defense. And we just don't have it. And again, in this game against the Knicks on a back-to-back, this is a game where that we should beat the Knicks. The game against Atlanta is a game we should win. And not having those three things to complement, to supplement what our starters are doing is just, you know, it's really, really hard. And we scratched and clawed to get this win, but it was not pretty. Hard knock life, guys. Hard knock life. Don't know what you thought about the game. I'd be curious. After playing overtime, you stay on the road. You go from New York City to Milwaukee tonight. Actually, the guys are probably there by now or close to. And they'll play an evening game, so they get a little bit more of a rest than you would normally get when you play a game at 7:30. So that's good. That's in our favor. That likely, instead of, you know, getting into Milwaukee if we were playing at home in Toronto at 7:30, you know, getting in Milwaukee at midnight, instead of that, you know, we're getting into Milwaukee, maybe 9 o'clock, maybe we just landed. So that's good, that if we're going to get a back-to-back on the road, it's going to be after a 3 o'clock game and play tomorrow evening. But I just don't know where we're going to get the wins to vault us toward that six seed if we are struggling so badly against the Knicks and losing to Atlanta. Now, Atlanta beat Miami, and we know they've got talent, but Miami doesn't present a lot of difficulties for us. Fred just didn't show up. Pascal really, really struggled. In the game against the Heat today, a different, formed team, different makeup than us. Atlanta was at home. Their backcourt showed up again. They scored 56 against us. They scored 52 tonight. And their bench had a solid game for the Hawks. But that's kind of it. You know, other guys chipped in. But, the Raptors could have beat them. And these are the games you have to win. You know, and we got lucky tonight against the Knicks. But these are the games you're going to have to win if you're going to have a shot at that six seed. Now, most people would probably say, Bryce, the sixth seed is too far away. But all it takes is you go, 10-5 in your next 15, and you're back up to 500, and things don't seem that far away anymore, right? You look at the East standings, and the Knicks are the sixth seed at 25-20, and we beat them twice this season. The Cavs just got knocked, bounced back into fifth. They're 28-17. So, if the Raptors were 22-22, we're talking about being 2.5 games back of sixth place. That's very, and that's what the Hawks are. That's a position that, puts you in a really good spot. So, we're 20-24 right now. If we were to go, let's say 10-6, that puts us at 30-30 with 22 games to go. That puts us right in the conversation of 6-7 seed. But if you're going to go 10-6, you got to win these types of games tonight. We're going to play Phoenix in a couple weeks, 2 or 3 weeks. And when we play Phoenix, who knows if Devin Booker is going to be back? They're free falling. They've lost 9 of their last 10, they're 21-24. That's a game you got to win. Utah, It's 4-6 in their last 10. They've really struggled after a red hot start. Not a surprise that they're struggling and that they're very mediocre. That's what their lineup looks like. But you got to win that game, right? Portland, we get again. We've lost to them in their, we beat them in our building. We play them where we often struggle. They're 4-6 in their last 10. That's another winnable game. Minnesota, we got coming up after the Milwaukee game, 22-23 record. They're not particularly great at home, 14-10. You know, nothing to be too intimidated by. There's another game. So we got a bunch of games coming up against the West that we could win that would get us, you know, 10 wins in the next 16. We've also got Detroit, Orlando, Washington, Chicago coming up. All winnable games. So we have a real good shot here before the All-Star break to get to 500. And who knows, maybe even a game or two over 500. And we do that, and the sky is the limit on, well, I should say the sixth seed is the limit. but, you know, the sixth seed is within reach. So that's the target for us at this point in the season. I would have said the four seed was our target at the start of the season, but we've thrown that away. And, you know, let's hope. We got lucky tonight, and sometimes you got to be lucky. Sometimes lucky is better than being good. So let's take it for what it is. Nick was, you know, holding on to his lucky charms today in the post game. Just happy that Brunson didn't hit that three in overtime to win it at the buzzer. And maybe, you know, we'll just ride Lady Luck here for a while going into the All-Star break. But hopefully, more than anything else, in respect to the All-Star break, hopefully in the next, you know, 12, 13 games, Pascal Siakam continues to play like an All-Star, scoring 25 plus points a game and getting 8-8. And if he does that, we got him at the All-Star break. We'll have momentum, I'm sure. And we'll have a lot of fun things to talk about during that All-Star break. Today is MLK Day. Happy MLK Day. Even though we're in Canada, we can still observe it. We can still celebrate the man that was Martin Luther King. And we can hold on to the things that he spoke and live them out in our lives, which I really hope we do. So happy MLK. Peace to y'all. We'll talk soon. Bye. I think I don't do dream or money or passion. I do arts. So these are arts. That's it. Fair enough.
Yeah, I'm like Neo now.
Oh, that was good. That was good.
That's Morpheus.